it's my least favorite day of the year. You may have picked up that I really, 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 really like summer and being outside. And today is the Tuesday after Labor Day, which means in the Northeast where I live, we are as far from summer as it ever gets. Shake it off, Johnny Mac, because Jimmy Fallon said, finally, as part of their new fall menu, Starbucks has added a new drink, the Apple Crisp Macchiato. In response, the pumpkin spice latte was like, oh, it's on. RuPaul recently hosted Jimmy Kimmel Live and said, and in gayer news, which is a wonderful transition, buy me some Crocs and Taylor Swift on vinyl, because baby, I'm a basic expletive who loves pumpkin spice latte. Yeah, I'm a diva pumpkin eater. RuPaul continued, face it, pumpkin spice is here to stay. It's rich, it's naughty, just like the vocals of Ariana Grande. Oh, but make mine an Ariana Venti, because honey, I can take it. That is hilarious. By the way, buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. From the AV Club, you know what's good clickbait? A reboot of The Office. Let's see what's going on with this. Is it real? Well, at the Edinburgh TV Festival, NBC content chief Susan Rovner told Deadline that NBC would like to work on a reboot whenever Office creator Greg Daniels wants to do one. She says, we're standing by. Daniels seems open to it. He told Collider back in January that a reboot was not impossible for sure and said he'd want to be involved if the opportunity ever comes up. Rainn Wilson also told Collider that he was up for playing Dwight again and even told Daniels that he would love to do something, but do we even need The Office to come back? Even most of the show's biggest fans can admit that the series lost its charm toward the end. We will, however, admit that we're a bit curious about what the Dunder Mifflin gang's up to these days. So there's two ways to go here. You could do the reunion episode, right? Like, I don't know, Dwight's having a party, everyone comes back to Scranton. That's a little lame. Now, if you do the reboot, it's complicated, right? So I'm doing this from memory. When The Office ends, Dwight is the boss now, right? All right, so we could do a show that takes place at Dunder Mifflin where Dwight is the boss. But if I remember correctly, Stanley had retired, Jim and Pam had moved to Texas, and you probably can't get Krasinski at this point. You're not going to do something horrible like Jim and Pam got divorced and Pam came back and is a receptionist. That would just be soul-crushing to the entire show. So they're out. So you wind up with a show where Dwight's the boss, and then you have like Kevin and Angela and Oscar. I'm sure they would do it. I'm sure Phyllis would do it. I'm sure Meredith would do it. So like, what would the show be? Would it be like, remember the new WKRP in Cincinnati? I'm talking to you old people. WKRP in Cincinnati was a wonderful show. And then like a few years later, they did the new WKRP, but it didn't have any of the main characters from the original. It only had the supporting characters like Mr. Carlson. And like, I don't even remember who else was on it, but like most of the main people were gone and there were new characters you didn't care about. So what would an Office reboot even be? Dwight running an office, something, something, something. Ed Helms isn't going to come back. So like, I don't know. I think some things are better left in the past. As much as I would love to watch more Office, I don't see how it could be good. Now, you could do a different Office and do the same kind of premise with all new characters and, you know, do the Office El Paso or something. But I think to revisit Dunder Mifflin, I don't know. It's time to break out Angry Jerry Seinfeld. If you're a relatively new listener, two things. One, on your podcast app, please hit the follow button. And two, I occasionally slip into an impression I call Angry Jerry Seinfeld. Now, a lot of people, Jerry Seinfeld impression is that kind of sing-song like, you ever notice that? Da, 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 da? I don't do that one. I do Angry Jerry, and I'm going to slip into Angry Jerry here. Netflix has announced the entirety of Seinfeld is coming to the streaming service starting on October 1st. The show hasn't been available on a streaming service since it went off Hulu back on June 23rd, so there's probably some pent-up demand. Not only Seinfeld will be available to view again, it might end up looking better to viewers. Netflix first announced it was buying the show streaming rights. It said it would stream in 4K. For the first time, Netflix announced that it acquired the rights to Seinfeld almost 2 years ago. That time, Netflix was fixing to lose Friends. Fixing? Who wrote this? Foghorn Leghorn? That time, Netflix was fixing to lose Friends to the upcoming HBO Max. Who wrote this? Along with The Office, which went to NBC Universal's Peacock. Seinfeld seemingly hasn't been as big as a hit as the other two shows on streaming. UpRocks reports that Friends made up 4% of Netflix's viewing, and The Office 7%. Seinfeld was less than 1% of Hulu's views. Wow. From the Interrobang, last year, Sam Morril did what all comics who were dying to get back on stage did. He made the most of a not-great situation. He'd go up on rooftops, various outdoor shows. He even brought along a camera crew to film a special. Once clubs started opening back up, he decided to document that in a new special, Full Capacity. examines what it's like for comics to get back on stage indoors in New York for the first time in over a year. In the trailer for the doc, we see Sam talk to comics about what the experience has been like. Listen to these names. Ray Romano, Colin Quinn, David Till, Bobby Kelly, Chris Redd, Sam J, Joe List, Mark Norman, Rachel Feinstein, Taylor Tomlinson, Ronnie Chang, Rosebud Baker, Ari Shaffir, and more. Last time I checked, this documentary was coming soon. Comicbook.com spoke to John Cena. John Cena out promoting Vacation Friends, which is his comedy on Hulu. John Cena said, I love the correlation that comedy, especially stand-up comedy, has to the world of WWE. But in WWE, we can't really be on our craft all the time because it involves having a ring and doing our stuff. Comedians always seem to be in it and always seems to be like, all right, maybe that could be a bit. I like to see that process and hear about the journey. One of the things Vacation Friends does supremely well is physical comedy. Cena was thrilled to embrace that. Something stars like Jackie Chan have embraced a great effect. Random name drop there. Cena said, well, I always want audiences to enjoy what we're doing, and a lot of times, to transcend any language or cultural barrier, you have to treat it like it's a silent movie. A lot of the comedies that travel well are comedies that do have moments of great physical humor. I think one of the greatest action comedic storytellers of our generation, Jackie Chan, has been able to take martial arts sequences and add humor to reach audiences around the world, and has become an icon with doing a lot and saying very little. That's kind of his. Being able to learn from him in that scenario of this is how you send your message. I said in the press conference, one of the things that the WWE is absorbed through audiences around the world is because you don't have to know what I'm saying. You watch what I'm doing, and you decide if you like it or not. Whether I'm good or evil, and we go from there. I dislike aspects of physical comedy. One, because I think it's within my skill set, and two, because I think it helps reach more people. And when more people could see the movie, you make more people laugh. You make more people laugh. It's a great day in the office. From the laugh button, for 5 seasons, comedian Jack Whitehall has taken his father on a journey that spanned 14 countries in 4 seasons. That's on the Netflix series Travels with My Father. Good show. You should watch it. Well, since it's something on Netflix, of course it's coming to an end. Everything on Netflix does. Hey, if we get philosophical, everything everywhere eventually comes to an end. Even this podcast someday will end. Isn't that sad? Jack Whitehall, Travels with My Father, returns on September 14th. This season finds them exploring their homeland, the UK. Do you sense budget cuts? I do. They used to go to like Australia. Now it's like, let's go around a corner. That might be cheaper to film. This time, they have dinner with Gordon Ramsay, pilot a Spitfire, and search for the Loch Ness Monster. I sense budget cuts. Dan Bublitz put this one on my radar. Thank you, Dan. The Snow Jam Comedy Festival celebrates comedy and snow. That's right. There's no other comedy festival like it. 30 comedians from around the country travel to Sioux Falls, South Dakota to perform in various venues across the city, showcasing their wits and endurance to the cold. Over the course of 3 days at Snow Jam, comedians will be showcasing their talents through stand-up comedy and theme showcases, all the while supporting a good cause. Net proceeds benefit the Special Olympics South Dakota Snow Jam 2022. Details coming soon. Sioux Falls, South Dakota, January 20th through the 22nd, 2022. Today's Daily Comedy News is brought to you by All Pro Lines. That's the funny podcast I enjoy the hell out of. It is about football, football plus comedy, NFL plus jokes. You don't like that? Why wouldn't you like that? Of course you like that. And then you're going to love All Pro Lines. Longtime stand-up comedian Kostaki Economopoulos and co-host Aaron Hodges cover all the water cooler moments from the weekend that was in the NFL. Reactions, debate, jokes, trash talk, and comedian guests. Now, last week, I described Aaron as dry, and I think he got bothered by that. Aaron, I also said I'm dry. That was a comment. You're like me. We are the same, except I don't do a show with Kostaki Economopoulos, which combines football and jokes. That show, you're on. You're on a show called All Pro Lines, and I think other people should check it out. They can find it on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You know the drill, wherever you get your shows. All Pro Lines, comedy plus football, do it. From the Laugh Button, last year, comedian Sam Talent released his first novel. It's called Running the Light. It was praised by his fellow comics such as Mark Maron and Doug Benson, pretty good, for capturing the world of stand-up so accurately. He's got a new special out today via Comedy Dynamics. Their stuff is always good. Did you hear I leaned into the word always? Comedy Dynamics stuff is always good. Waiting for Death to Claim Us follows America's dogged stand-up scion, Sam Talent, through 13 different venues across America, from the sold-out theaters to house parties and rib joints, all while COVID barrels down on the nation in early 2020. This is the last comedy special filmed before the country went into lockdown. Sam Talent said, I just hope people watch this. Sounds like Sam Talent went to the favor well because Chris Gethard said, Sam Talent is and always has been one of the true originals. He's as much a myth as a man, like a character who wandered off the pages of a Kerouac novel. And yeah, I think he called in the favors because Ron White said, a hell of an effing writer. Sam Talent, Waiting for Death to Claim Us, available now on various Comedy Dynamics platforms. You got one of those Rukus, you'll figure it out. Do you have the Google machine? Type in Sam Talent, it'll come up. You got to get moving on your submission to the Flyover Comedy Festival, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. The Flyover Comedy Festival is an annual comedy invasion of St. Louis, featuring various stand-up comedy showcases, improv workshops and performances, sketch and storytelling shows, and more. All events are in an effort to showcase local and national comedic talent in the city of St. Louis. The Flyover Comedy Festival will return to the Grove November 11th through the 13th. After taking 2020 off, you know why. Did you hear about this pandemic? We all had to sit home for like a year. Were you there? Yeah, you know about this. The comedy festival will take place at several venues throughout the Grove neighborhood. Submissions are open now to comics and close September 20th. And you're going to have to show proof of the vaccine. Get vaccinated, will you? Speaking of the COVID, Jermaine Clement spoke to The Guardian and said, we're beating this together. The Guardian writes, it's a blustery Wellington night, and we're on the brink of the second nationwide lockdown of the pandemic. There's a measured knock at my flat door. Jermaine Clement shakes my hand warmly and removes his boots. We're meeting off the back of the global success of his comedy series, Wellington Paranormal, available here in the United States on the CW. And he's in a good mood. He's also in a thirsty one. Tonight, the former door-to-door orange juice salesman is plumping for copious glasses of water instead. Jermaine said, there are lots of comedies where people just insult each other all the time. It's good to make a space where that isn't happening. Wellington Paranormal is one of the spinoffs of the movie What We Do in the Shadows. The other spinoff is what? The TV show What We Do in the Shadows. Come on, that was an easy one. TVNZ, who are the producers of Wellington Paranormal, notoriously declined Clement and Brett McKenzie's pitch for the series Flight of the Conchords before HBO approved that one. Jermaine said, Brett's too polite. I would love to make fun of TVNZ turning us down. It amused me. They were too scared to let anyone do comedy. Jermaine Clement is now 47. He reflects on his first brush with law enforcement. It's when he broke into a seemingly abandoned building in his hometown as a teenager and said, it's part of the fun, part of the risk of a small town. You let loose. You don't know the rules. It feels like you're breaking a small rule. Then it turns out you're breaking a big rule. Who would have thought that I'd spend 4 years making a police show? That's a warning for any Guardian readers thinking of embarking on vandalism. Now, if you're waiting for more Flight of the Conchords, bad news. The previously discussed special or film isn't even on the back burner. Due to the band members' hectic schedules, McKenzie and he are working on separate projects with their Conchords co-creator James Bobin. McKenzie's include pandemic-affected musicals and an imminent serious album release. He said, we had lunch yesterday. We got offered a small gig in Tasmania. It might be fun to do that if we can make the dates work. The Guardian writes, it's getting late. My phone rings. Clement laughs and says, might be a booty call before midnight. So what does Jermaine Clement think of COVID? He pauses, uncharacteristically, looking at the lights of the Capitol poised to go in a snap lockdown. Then he speaks of his anxiety about the suffering, death, and loss people have gone through in places like the UK, America, Greece, and a desire that comedy can distract the housebound a bit. He said, COVID has been quite unifying in New Zealand. The whole team of 5 million, not this, there's us and you. We're beating this together. And that is your comedy news for today. Hey, if you enjoy my company, you can support the show by going to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. I'm on this kick with these Starbucks salt and caramel iced coffee things. They're like five something, man. Donate to the cause. buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. Suggested donation, $5, but you can give $1. You can give $1 million. And as I've been promising on the show, if you give $1 million to that fund, I will say your name on the show. At least twice, okay? At least twice, maybe three times. $1 million, maybe three times. I'm only going to guarantee two. Follow this show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. See you tomorrow.